It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning. Good morning. It's the 21st. Whew. We're a third of the way through winter. Man, it hit in our area, although they told us it was going to be like a foot of snow. We were kind of on the rain end of that thing. We had a bunch of rain on Saturday, and then Saturday night the snow hit. We got about maybe 4 or 6 inches down there, but it's below zero here this morning. Let me see what it says. All of a sudden that happened. I get encouraged because, as I said, we're closer to, come on here. There we go. We're closer to spring. There we are, -5 in Hebron. So it's pretty chilly here today. And, man, I had some good times this weekend. Sometimes I vegetated. I've got my son-in-law took the kids out sled riding down our hill. Good weekend. And you know what? This is unbelievable. Happy birthday, Mike Spaulding, Pastor Mike Spaulding, Dr. Mike Spaulding. I don't know what to call him anymore. Happy birthday to him today. Just popped up in the screen. I'm reminded of that. So glad you're here, Pastor Mike. Friday, the 25th of January, we'll complete our third year of CoachDaveLive.com. This Friday, the 25th, is the third anniversary. And I know I get somewhat repetitious when I say this, but it's pretty amazing to think how many times we've been together. Now, somebody do the math for me again, just so everybody gets this. That is 52 weeks times 5. I think I maybe missed one and a half. I hadn't missed hardly any of them. I was on an airplane for one. So 52 times 5 times 3. Somebody done that math for me? 780. We've had done 700. This Friday, we will have done 780 Coach Dave live shows. Now, I better back up a little bit because I think maybe we took Christmas off. Let's say we're at 775. 775 Bible lessons that we've had here. 775. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And I want to thank all of you guys because all of you have helped me to grow. You've challenged me every day. I'm going to tell you that today I don't believe some of the things I believed 3 years ago. And I pray that 3 years from today I'm going to have gone deeper, have a greater understanding. I was just blown away this weekend again as I was doing some studying. I watched a Chuck Misler. I was working out. Yeah, working out. And I put on a Chuck Misler tape. And I ought to get it in the chat and get it to you guys so you can get out there. Here's my premise before I go too far. We think we know it all and we don't know nothing. You're talking about me. We think we know it all and we know nothing. What was it, Sergeant Schultz? I know nothing, nothing. I feel that way sometimes. And I feel that way because the scriptures tell us that if it were possible, I'm trying to paraphrase this, maybe somebody can remember it better than me, that all the books, if all the books in all the world were written, they could not contain the things that would be told about the times of Christ. Everybody know what I'm talking about there? If you think about that, that's Mark Trump and data. It's really pretty amazing. And we've covered a lot of different subjects. I was watching Chuck Misler, who's a very well-respected Bible teacher. And, I don't know how you guys do it on Facebook, on YouTube. Sometimes I'll hit YouTube and I'll just scroll down and look at all and say, hey, that's interesting. And I'll play it. That's interesting. And a lot of times they're interesting because there are things I've heard about that, but never really studied. You know what I'm talking about? So that's interesting. And then when I watch the video, I always take it with a grain of salt. I listen to it and I take it through my filter, through the Holy Spirit, filter it through what I know and what I don't know. Chuck Misser did the most unbelievable teaching on Genesis 6 and the giant. And he went deeper than I'll watch the chat. If somebody says, Coach, man, I'd like to see that. Well, I'll try to figure out a way that I can get that. Because when it was done, same thing happens as always happened. When it was over, I just kind of sat back and thought, man, I'm stupid. I don't know anything. And let this scare you. I'm about the top 90%. I know so much more than the average guy, and I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And so after 3 years of this, I just appreciate all of you. Fights and no fights, squabbles and no squabbles. I guess it's nothing wrong with a little family feud every now and then. And what I want to try to guard against me, I'm talking about me, I want to guard against being, for me, dogmatic. I hope that comes across here. Jared, look that word up a minute. And I think that's where many Christians, I think it's where many Christians are. I was talking to one of my buddies, Rod. I don't know if Rod's listening to us today. And he was talking to me about some of our friends who listen to the show. And he said, you know, Coach, some guys just have a hard time going where you go. And I thought, I understand it. I understand they do. And can I tell you the truth? I don't always know if I know. I mean, I think I know what I know, but I don't always know if I know. And I was talking to Jeff before we went on the air. I was telling Jeff this. A lot of times, I know this is true of me. I know this. By the way, I had the greatest Bible study Sunday morning. All the churches were closed. Went up, walked up the hill and had with my son-in-law, my daughter, my little 6-8-year-old daughter. Man, she's sharp as a tack. And we went through 2 Thessalonians. Wow, that was really, really good. We come across as arrogant. And I understand. I hear from people, my friends. And we have to be... me, all of us, guard against being dogmatic. What's it say here, Jared? Put it up on the screen. Where would that word, dogmatic, where would that word come from? Dogmatic. But it says dogma. Put dogma up there. See what that says. I see arrogantly. A settled opinion. Dogma is a settled opinion, a principle, maxim or tenet, a doctrinal notion, particularly in the matters of faith and philosophy. As the dogmas of the church, the dogmas of Plato. And Jared, if you go back, dogmatically says arrogantly. And the last thing that I want to be is arrogant. But like all of you, I struggle. We all struggle when we see people that don't get it. Right? And so I just pray every day that the Lord will. Lord helps me be teachable, that I am a teacher, and Lord helps me be teachable, that we all be teachable, and that we all understand that not everybody is at the same level. That's why Jeff now has trouble finding people around him, because he's peculiar. First of all, the Bible calls us peculiar people. He's a bit peculiar. It's hard to find people. And he doesn't understand why they don't get it. And I don't understand why they don't get it. I can tell you this. They don't get it. So most people that you're going to come in contact with, most discussions you're going to have, especially with those who don't know the Lord, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to wait for you to stop talking so they can tell you what they think. And one of the biggest mistakes I think we make, me now, is to be so dogmatic in our approach that we turn them off. As soon as we realize that they don't, soon as we realize that they don't get it, probably time to zip it. That's the ultimate, in my mind, casting pearl before swine. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They cannot understand. It's a great challenge we have, because I really believe, again, that so much of what we're hearing in Christianity isn't true, or is just a portion of the truth. We're dealing and spending time with people who love Jesus. They love Jesus, Jesus that they know. And I got to be careful coming in with my hammer and pound them over the head and say, you don't know the real Jesus. Maybe somebody has a better approach to that. Maybe somebody can explain how we can better do that. But I see that as a big hurdle that we have to get over. And I really think that we advance the cause of Christ, talking to me now, when we help people question what they believe, not tell them what we believe. I think that's a real art and a real science. I just pray that we all be able to do that better. January 21st. Jared, throw that screen up there real quick. The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Thanks, Socrates. Thank you. Man, we got a busy schedule coming up. Denny's all pumped up. I know he is. A lot of us are going to Iowa this weekend. Denny, you got anything you want to fill us in on that? We're going to do this Sunday and Monday. I know those are odd times, but we're having a regional huddle up there in Oskaloosa, Iowa. I got three things I really want to talk a lot about today. So, not a lot, but bring your memory to. Denny, anything you want to say about that regional huddle?
Just say it's just growing. I just talked to Penny, and she just said there's 10 people from Wisconsin coming now. So it's just, and I got calls from Cedar Rapids and everything last night and Harlan, and it's just, I don't know where it's going. God's in charge.
There's great hunger, man. I'm just telling you, there's great, great, great hunger. And, you know, Denny, if you recall when I came out there first time, and I did that teaching on exposing the lie of the separation between the church and state. If you remember, Denny, I didn't come in and pound them over the head and tell them what they needed to believe. I just presented facts to them. I said, hey, read this. What do you think about this? And that's what we want to try to do this weekend. They're going to be David Arthur's going to be there, and David's going to talk about that subject of homosexuality, which, have we got some misteaching on that? You think David doesn't walk a fine line of bringing truth to people? But David's going to be there. That's going to be an eye-opening experience for people. See, we have to lead them to the truth, folks. We can't shove it down the throat. We got to lead them. And Mark Trump, I don't know if Mark's got a speaking thing. He's got that AI that Mark talks about. Are you kidding me? That's going to blow people's minds. And it's scary, man. Do you understand that it's scary? And that we have to be sensitive. The people we deal with people who've been in church their whole life, and what was that, Jared? Know nothing. They know something, but in the scheme of things, they know nothing. And can I tell you, I don't either. I listen to Chuck Missler. I know nothing. I don't know anything.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, we've just finished about an 8 or 9 week study on the gospel on our Bible study on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I came to realize is a lot of times people, and myself included, when we supposedly, you know, presenting the gospel to someone, we assume they all, you know, because we feel led to present the gospel to them, we feel the Holy Spirit is there within them, you know, because only if the Spirit draws them can they come to the Father. But we assume they have the Holy Spirit while we're talking to them in a lot of cases, when what in reality we're trying to use reason in the Scriptures to lead them to receive the Holy Spirit in their lives.
Amen. Amen.
And we put the cart before the horse sometimes.
Well, and they may have the Holy Spirit, but they're not fine-tuned. We could come back to Mark and data, right? Now, we start out with 2G, now we're going to go to 5G, and each one of those G's is a different frequency and a clearer fit. So we have people maybe who've received the Holy Spirit, but they're not fine-tuned. They're not tuned in at all. They really aren't. And so that's why I think we struggle so much. And so we have to, rather than tell them what we believe so much, we have to get them to question what they believe. Boy, that's a tough one. Anybody got a comment on that?
You know, this weekend I went to a church and I brought up, I said something in the Sunday school class about the wall and about Trump, because he was talking about the Bible, about how you can excommunicate people from the church, you know, and when you do that. And I thought I was agreeing with him. And then the guy in charge said, well, no, not exactly, you know, and then I shut up and I listened, you know. But I said it with my motive was to reinforce them. My motive wasn't to win.
To argue.
You know, right. It was to reinforce what he was talking about, looking for where I could put the truth in, where, and even that didn't work, you know?
So, right. Because you're operating from a different knowledge base, right? A different knowledge base. Yeah, George.
Yeah, hey, good morning. Yeah, hey, I was up in Spokane this past weekend visiting my dad, helping him out, but my brother, who is not a Christian. And I think you're right on, because I've in the past been very dogmatic, you know, in years past. And I've learned, man, if you can cast doubt and if you can learn to agree on points, even with people you don't fundamentally agree with, but if you can find something to agree on and then ask a lot of questions so you understand what they really believe, and then you know what angle to approach it to start casting the doubt. And you're right. That's so, yep. Because if I did that with my brother, Coach, he'd shut down. If you just started quoting Bible scriptures, well, the Bible says it's the Bible. He wouldn't connect with. And we ended up talking till midnight the last night I was there, and he felt it was a great conversation.
Awesome, George. See, so listen, you ask questions, right? Simple question. Hey, because people, they want to tell us what that God loves everybody. Well, ask him, does he love Hitler? Mm-hmm. God love Hitler? Start ask questions like that make them question what they've been taught, and then try to listen. You can hammer it all. You can hammer them over the head, and they're working off a knowledge base, and you can hammer it all you want. It's not going to matter. Regional huddle, 27 Sunday and Monday. Michelle and I, she gets to come with me. Praise the Lord. We got all of our grandbabies born, so we're going to get out and get up there. Not all of our grandbabies, but all of them that were due. And then I know Jim Kraft or Mark Trump, are you in there? Can you talk a little bit about our disaster relief down in Panama City? Folks, we're going to go down there February 10th through the 15th. It's Sunday's a travel day. Friday's the get out of there day. And Jim and Mark have really been doing some legwork to make this thing work down there. Do one of you want to step in? Anything to say about that? We'd love as many of you to come, but you have to let us know that you're coming, because we're trying to make sleeping arrangements and all that kind of stuff. Mark or Jim, somebody?
Yeah, just I would recommend just get word out as best you can. I've been sending out that right there. I've been copying and pasting that in emails, what Jared's got on the screen. But right. Again, teenagers are candidates for doing some of this work. Just keep an eye on who may want to go. I don't know what else to say, Coach, other than the work we're doing speaks for itself. You know,
how many are we sitting at right now, you think, Mark?
We got probably about 16 people that's confirmed, and others who are looking into it need to get back with me. So if you include all the others, it's about 30 people.
Church camp for adults. And did somebody tell me you reconnected with Tree Limb Jim? Is that the truth?
That is the truth. He's helping out some folks right now, earning a little bit of money. But he said he's still in the area and looking forward to us coming back. So he's trying to raise some money for his mom. He said she has problems with her car. So, he let me know that.
Yeah. Well, hey, folks, listen, those of you who can't go, if you could send $20 to help us. We want everybody to be able to go down there. I want to help with their traveling expenses. We want to be able to feed and house them while we're down there. Where we stayed last time, it cost $10 a night. So just help me out here. If we got 30 people down there, you can do the math. That's $300 a day for 5 days. That's $1,500. Just housing and food. So some of you can't go. You could really, really help us there. Most of our expenses that we're putting into the event we're not giving money to people down there in Panama City. For the most part, we don't. We pay our expenses. We feed our crew. We help them with their travel. And our goal is to try to raise, we're guessing $6,000. That's what we think it's going to take. You say, how can it be that much? Well, we have equipment. And the equipment comes down, and those guys that have the equipment, we reimburse them for use of their equipment. And we know, hey, Mark, if we were to go rent a skid steer in Panama City, any idea what that would cost us today?
Probably a pretty decent machine with the trailer would be about $2,500 a week, I'd guess.
That's right. So folks, think about that. So we have guys who are taking their equipment down there. And so we don't rent it from them, but we workman's worthy of his wages. And so we take that money and we put it back into, you know, the skid steer breaks down. You got to buy tires. This stuff's all happened, right? You got to buy parts, all that. So those guys, they're happy to bring their stuff down there. But rather than giving money to rent a whatever, we force you. Okay. And then the third thing I think it's important to talk about is all hands on deck. We got to hear the watchman. Folks, you can go here. I don't want to spend all the time talking about this. But all hands on deck is coming up here in Canton, Ohio. That's April 12th through the 14th, I think it is. All hands on deck. There we go. Occupy till I come. I got it right. Thanks, man. I don't know why I said all hands on deck. Occupy till I come. That's in Akron, Ohio. We got a great lineup of speakers, great fellowship. You're going to get to know other people in your area, all that. So a lot of stuff on the schedule. I'm going to use all the time up on the schedule. Anybody have anything to add to us? There it is. Hey, listen, we're only charging. If you buy a ticket right now, it's only, I should know better. I think it's $49. Now, you got to pay your hotel. But $49. Last year, it was $99. We've cut it in half because we want more people to be able to come. But it's going to become $69 the closer we get to, because we've made financial investments in being there, and we want to fill the place up as quickly as we can. So it's $49 right now, $49. And what's that go to? Well, Mark Trump and Dizdar and Chad Estes and these guys flying them in, putting them in hotels, renting the hotels, a lot of expenses that are involved. Okay, cool. Anybody? Boom. Let's move on. Let's quit talking about that stuff. Anybody out there? Cool. Can I throw a little tinfoil hat thing out there? I just want to throw this. I'm going to move on from this as well. There's something really crazy going on in America, folks. Really, really crazy. And I really believe, remember, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, which, by the way, Chuck Missler in that video I talked about, boy, he went right back to that. See? And I love it when those kind of things happen, because they reinforce in me that I'm heading down the right path. Seed of the serpent gets the seed of the woman. And I don't know how this whole thing's going to wind down. They're telling us the blood moon. It's the last blood moon. It was a wolf moon. All these moons. And, we know this. Stuff's getting ready to happen. And it would not be surprising to me if you did. I haven't brought this before, but an electromagnetic pulse would not be. I wouldn't be surprised if the deep state did something like that. Let's remember this, okay? The devil's team hates life. They hate life. They love their own life, but they hate life. They have no concern for others. They have concern only for themselves and the advancement of their agenda and advancement of what it is. And if we have really been. If we really have been hoodwinked, and we've really seen Christianity almost overthrown in America. Is that gone too far to say that? Has Christianity been overthrown in America today? Thinking about Mike Spalding out there and his show and everything that's going on. Do you find many Christians like you? Would it be safe to say that Christianity in America is hardly anything about what it's supposed to have been in the past? Somebody help me out right here. Am I hitting that one okay? Rob Pugh up there in Wisconsin. Rob, are you finding yourself more and more weird?
Coach?
Have you, Have you left Christ, Rob, or are you pulling closer to Christ? What's going on here? Something has happened around us. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, because the Christianity has been suborned. You know, it's been weakened. I really contend now that the Book of Enoch was taken out because it was a warning to us all. So Christianity has been changed. It has been, I use a word, I'm not going to use it now, but it's not the Christianity of the Crusades, is it?
No, it isn't even the Christianity of the 1940s. It's not even the Christianity of the 1960s. Yeah, Paul.
I think it's we have to look at it, got to understand we're here in America. I don't know what it's like around the world, but I imagine if you're in places like Syria or the Middle East where your faith is being really challenged, or China for that matter, the underground mm-hmm. church. I just think the American Christianity has become so changed. And then, you know, places that are affected are where we go, where they go out and around the world and, you know, minister, quote unquote. So that's what I think. I just think our perspective is totally different.
I believe it is too. I think it's that ungodly affluence that we have here in the good old, I'm heading someplace. Stay with me. I'm heading someplace. And so as a result of it, I believe as Larry would say, we've got all these satanic social clubs that people go to. And I don't always question, I don't get mad at people because you are what you eat, right? You are what you eat. And we think about GMOs and some of the food that we're eating, and people are waking up and saying, man, maybe I need to begin to eat more healthily. Mark Trump sent me a couple things this weekend on diet. You are what you eat. Well, folks, what would that be like spiritually? If what you eat in the natural impacts your physical body, what do you suppose happens to you spiritually if you're not eating the right kind of stuff? What if you're eating poison and don't recognize that you are? And as you're eating that spiritual poison, thank you, Lord. As you eat that spiritual poison, natural food becomes less and less appealing to you. When we were out handing out the bread last week, and I've seen this over and over and over, we have these, sometimes we get these $4 things, this bread that you would never buy. You would never buy it because it costs too much. You just would never go to the store and buy it. It's $4.99 a loaf. And we get it. And we're able to handle that whole grain mix. I can't even remember the names they put on these healthy food breads. And then we open up our truck, we let all the bread out, and everybody runs the white bread. They all want the white bread. Now, why do they want the white bread? They want the white bread because that is what they can afford and what they are used to eating. So we hear the people coming to get the food, for the most part, don't live the type of lifestyle that they can buy $5 loaf of bread. They get the white bread, they put peanut butter and jelly on it, and they eat it, and they like it. So when you come and you bring all this variety of breads and put them out there, whole wheat, half grain, this grain, that grain, and they want white bread, what they're used to. So what we're dealing with in Christianity is white bread Christians. They're used to the white bread. They're comfortable in it. They know how it tastes. They know what to put on it. They know how hard to toast it. And you come along and you have this new fangled bread. Am I making sense, folks? And I think the same thing is happening to us spiritually. And that those of us who, for whatever reason, God has red-pilled us or enabled our eyes to be opened, it's hard to get off that white bread. Man, that's good, isn't it? It's hard to get off the white bread. But I think that the whole idea of where we are in America is because we are eating that white GMO bread spiritually. It's impacted our ability to go deep. Somebody come in and save me here a second. Because you know what? That was better than you guys are amen. That was a great
brother. Yeah, that's I was typing it in right now. Money needs to be put on the back burner, and life belongs on the front burner.
That's right. That's right. And it's all, for whatever reason, money has become the white bread, hasn't it?
Amen. And it's horrible.
Amen.
You don't learn the Bible through osmosis.
You don't. So, Jared, I want to go back, if I can, go back to 2 Thessalonians, because I went through this. I had the greatest. This was our Bible study yesterday. Even though we talked about this on Friday, this was the Bible study I had with our family yesterday. 2 Thessalonians, Jared, chapter 2. Okay. Just stay with me. I was so proud of my little 8-year-old granddaughter, because folks, when you read the scriptures, you just ask questions as you do it. You go down through it. Verse 3. Now, let's go with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken. Where? In mind. That you be not so soon shaken in mind. Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, don't be shaken in your mind or troubled by, it doesn't say the Holy Spirit, it says the Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, what others are saying to you. Don't be so easily shaken. Why? Let no man deceive you. What does that mean? Men must be able to deceive you. How? By any means. There's a lot of ways they can deceive you. Through your emotions, through your senses, through your mind. Let no man deceive you by any way. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Boys and girls are falling away from what? From what?
Sound doctrine.
Truth. Sound doctrine. Falling away first. What? Yeah. Except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this is me. Maybe somebody's a little bit more scholarly than me. I think there's going to be an antichrist. But if we go right on down here, go to verse 7, Jared, it says this: for the mystery of iniquity is already at work. It's already at work. Back 2,000 years ago, they were talking about the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. It's already at work. Only who? We talk about the Holy Spirit blocking, be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. How? With all powers and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of righteousness. And then that perish because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. Jared, go back there a minute. Folks, that's all one sentence. Start verse 7. You can't break this up. This is all one sentence. There, for the mystery of iniquity, already at work, only he that letteth will be taken out of the way. Now begins a sentence. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then the perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. It's talking about the rejection of truth. And when that rejection of truth happens, what? And then God, for this cause. For what cause? Because they've rejected the truth. God shall send them white bread. Going to send them some white bread. And they're going to believe that that's good. Unfortunately, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure and unrighteousness. That's what's around us. And so the evolution, the devolution, if you are watching this show, you know something's wrong or you wouldn't be here. The question is, what is, am I making any sense to you right now? Am I making any sense? Because I'm receiving some truth out of it. As I say, are you picking up, anybody picking up what I'm laying down? Everywhere we look, there's what's the word I'm looking for? There's decadence. There is destruction. Jared, look up perish. Perish. Find that one. Perish. Webster's. Perish. Everywhere I look, things are perishing. To die, to wither and decay. People perish. Why do they perish? For a lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And perish doesn't mean they die. It means they begin to die. They begin to wither, to decay, to waste away as a leg or an arm has perished, to be in a state of decay or passing away, to be destroyed, to come to nothing, to fail entirely, to be extirpated, to be burst or ruined as the bottle shall perish, to be wasted or rendered useless, to be lost eternally, to be sentenced to endless misery. My people are perishing. Why? For lack of knowledge. White bread. That's what we're seeing around us. And in the midst of all this that we see going on around us, what is the answer? What's the church offering? Hey, Jared, click on that link I have right there for you. Is gay taking out our churches? Folks, let's just start with this one delusion right here. How could anybody in their right mind think this is normal? That a man would marry a man. Hey, David Arthur, you in there, David? Because I was thinking of you last night, David. Did anybody watch the football game? By the way, Dale, I don't know if Dale's in here. Dale's, I think, down in Mississippi. The Saints got cheated, I thought. But I was watching the Patriots. They won in overtime. They went down, they drove down the field in overtime, scored a touchdown, and won and moved on to the Super Bowl. And I saw the most amazing thing. I saw intimacy at that point. Are you there, David? I don't know if you are. I saw intimacy. I saw Tom Brady, a near 40-year-old man, run over and jump in the arms of a Gronkowski. Jumped in his arms and hugged him. I saw guys running around hugging each. I saw Bill Belichick, stoic Bill Belichick, run over and grab one of his players and give him the biggest hug, and they embraced and they hugged back. I saw real intimacy right in front of us, right there. I almost called you, David. I almost called you because we were all watching it, and everybody watching it's thinking, isn't that something? Look how happy those guys are. And not a one of us had a thought, a sexual thought about those guys and their relationship with one another. It was true intimacy.
Why? Because they have true masculinity. And that masculinity gives them the security to be intimate one with another. Mm.
Rob Gronkowski did not care what people thought about him hugging Tom Brady. He couldn't have cared less because David, as you said, he knew who he was in his masculinity, right? He knew who he was. He didn't have any desire. It was that calling, deep calling to deep in Rob Gronkowski, that deep calling to Tom Brady, that deep and deep calling to each other. That's what spiritual brothers are supposed to have. That's what Christians are supposed to walk. not just in church. All right, let's take a minute. Everybody greet your neighbor. No. That isn't it. And so because we don't have that, because we're striving to find that intimacy and everything has become sexualized, we don't even know. I don't know how I weaved into that. But I think it's critical. Because what's happening, Jared? Jared, just play one of those. Just see, play that last touchdown there, Jared, and see if anybody's hugging each other there. See if any of them are hugging. I don't know. This is the reach. You don't have to. I guarantee you that. Well, there's Tom Brady. Look, he's being interviewed after the game. Hey, Jared, play this. I want you guys to hear what he says in the midst of this. It's only a minute. Listen to intimacy come out of Tom Brady. Because the intimacy he has with his players, he all of a sudden wants you to know the deeper intimacy he has. Go ahead, Jared.
On the road against a great team. They had no fight, they had no quit. Here do we play our best football, Dan. Just like I don't know, man, I'm tired. How about the hell of a game?
A long one. Every season has challenges, but this one seemed to have more. The underdog mentality going into this one. What's it mean after all of that to head back to the Super Bowl?
I first want to say hi to my wife. I love you so much. I'm coming home, mom, dad at home, my sisters, all my family. Thanks for your love and support. All our fans back home. Way to go, man. What a year. What was your question?
He is in the midst. He is in the midst of a spirit of intimacy. All around him, everything he's worked for, all the players, and where does his heart go? To his deepest intimacy. To his family. To his wife. To those who have shared with him and all of the suffering and hard work that has taken him to get to that point. See, when men get together after the football game and hug each other, it's not that they won. It's that they succeeded together. Don't we understand this? Can't we see this?
And you know what, Coach? They don't play football to show their masculinity. But masculine men come together and do things together. Like the football doesn't make them masculine.
No.
Because masculine men come together in the bunkhouse, in the clubhouse, you know, even at home, at the family barbecue. Masculine men come together and share intimacy. It's part of their nature. You know, Lowe and I were talking about this, and I just have to put it out there. Lowe is actually going to drive me to Iowa. And he has somebody else already coming. And there's two seats available for anybody in Ohio that wants to go to Iowa. So we're bringing a van load already. But that's what we were talking about. He was talking about, you know, the men in the Army, his experiences. Look at Jared's experience. Jared said, hey, you know what? There's 10 guys in one tent. There's only 5 sleeping bags being used because it's freezing and we want to stay warm and we don't have no problem with getting into a sleeping bag with another man because we are intimate and we are masculine and we know that we are not going to be engaging in bromances.
It's not even, doesn't even cross your mind. Right? Right? I don't even know where I'm heading today, okay? But this is all over. What is making... It's making guys drive all the way to Iowa. What? Going to Iowa for what? Well, it's the same thing that you would do when you get in a car with guys and you drive all the way to Green Bay to watch a football game. It's that same desire for intimacy, by the way, the number one ingredient missing in the church. And so we substituted intimacy for praise and worship. We said, oh, I sure felt the Spirit. And, oh, we felt it. No. Yeah, you felt the Spirit. Your desire to be intimate with
something manifests itself, what we call praise and worship. When the intimacy is the oneness that we're supposed to have, one to I'm stuck in a rut here this morning. Can't get off. I can't get off. I can't get off of it.
Hey, Coach, people will say they're smart, but are they wise?
Well, wisdom is the application of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
So this, okay, Jared, let's go to that, back to that article. Maybe this will pull me back in. You know, the pastor that got thrown out because he preached against homosexuality, that's the starting place. Go on down here, Jared. look what they're talking. Go on down. Next one, Jared. Number one, the definition of love. These points may help us better understand the great divide. Jared, go up just a little bit. I'm sorry. Let's start that second paragraph. With pastors stepping down, best-selling Christian authors remaining silent, and popular worship leaders showing support for gay marriage. Boy, many are left baffled and confused. We don't understand Christianity. These points may help us better understand the great divide. Number one, the definition of love is misunderstood. To love others, Matt, we must first love God and His truth. That's the foundation. Does loving someone mean we approve of their lifestyle, or does it mean we love them enough to share the truth? If a person's more worried about being liked than being truthful, do they really love those caught in sin more than those who are willing to speak the truth in love? Folks, look, I got to stop there. I'm tired of hearing that. Every time I speak the truth, it is in love. You cannot speak the truth in hate. I don't believe you can do that. I don't believe you can speak the truth in hate. You speak the truth is love. God is love. Jesus is truth. They're the same. It says the answer is obvious. Authentic Christians love the truth and others to the degree that they're willing to risk the consequences of confrontation in order to help others. This is genuine love, not hatred. Go to the next point, Jared. Gays killing the church. Two, this is worth a read, by the way. Is the Bible clear or vague? Boy, that's a question, isn't it? Somebody help me right now. Is the Bible clear on homosexuality? Not love. Hey, David Arthur, is the Bible clear?
The Bible is very clear, Coach. It's very clear on every single issue there is, but especially on homosexuality, because not only in the Old Testament it is addressed, but it is addressed in the New Testament as well. So all those people that the Old Testament doesn't matter because we're under a new covenant, even Jesus clearly states that homosexuality is wrong and it is a sin and it is an abomination just by affirming and confirming the Old Testament scriptures on that topic.
So, Larry, here you go. Recent polls show that less than 50% of believers even read their Bible. And as we know, to read truth without practicing it leads to what? Deceptions, Thessalonians, deception, 2 Thessalonians. And as we know, I'm sorry, no wonder there's confusion. Why is there confusion? People don't read their Bible. They value the words of Matthew Vines, the homo Christian. They value his words more than the Gospel of Matthew. There's a mic drop. Amen. Scroll on down, Jared. When Christians believe God has given them the authority to change truth in order to keep it relevant, they are departing from God. And although disheartening, this trend is not surprising. The Apostle Paul warned us the time would come when people will not endure sound doctrine. On down, Jim. The Bible, this guy must be listening to us. Go up, Jared. The Bible encourages us to be peacemakers, but not religious negotiators. In our zeal to reach others, we often compromise the message because we want to be liked rather than truthful. Number three, don't judge apparently means don't say anything negative. When we look at the context, the true meaning of judge, we clearly see there is no contradiction. The misrepresentation of judging is an attempt to conform scripture to support opinion. Christians are to judge or call into question those things that clearly contradict God's principles. We're to examine our own lives first, and then we are to move primarily by love for God. Love for God and others before critiquing. Four. So who's influencing your decision, my friends, in the church? Hollywood or the Holy Spirit? Do you care more about what Bruce Jenner says or what the Word says? Do you care more about Oprah? How many people's Oprah influencing? Our beliefs should reflect God's heart rather than the world's influence. We're the salt of the earth. We don't want the earth to be the salt of the church. The world will know we are Christian by our love for one another and by our obedience, not by how well we imitate the world around us. Oswald Chambers once noted, the sinner who is now saved by grace proves he is forgiven by being the opposite of who he was. Wow.
Amen.
Carnal Christians give God his due a few hours on Sunday. The things of the world are exciting and the things of God are dull. Love of this world and the praise of men has drawn a large section of Christendom away from God, hence the divide. A carnal Christian does not pray and seek the heart of God. A deep prayer life exposes facades and crushes hypocrisy. Carnality also destroys spiritual power and hinders the infilling of the Spirit. In short, everything God called us to be is compromised, including a skewed view of sexual purity. Does anybody in their right mind think Jesus Christ, our Savior, is okay with sodomy? What is wrong with us?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
This is Randy. Hey.
Rand.
I tell you what, I challenge everyone listening. Turn off your TV for a week. And you take that time and you read the Bible. Read it. With that, just take your filters off like you know nothing. Because you're right, Coach. We don't know very much, very little. And you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And I'm going to tell you what. You won't turn your TV back on. I challenge everybody to do that. Now, Coach, when we all get on the same page like this, guess what? Then we're a different animal. We're a Holy Spirit led moving being that engages everywhere we go, and then you have it in you, and you're able to do. You're credible. It changes everything, Coach. And it worked for me. I just challenge everybody to give it a try.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Amen, Randy. I'm trying to do something here, Randy. Okay, here's what it is. No, I don't have time to do it. Sadly, many who embrace views outside the Bible are not saved. Folks, they're not saved. Genuine faith is reflected in a love for God and His Word. See, we've taken, Matt Tice, we've changed the first and the second commandment, and we love people more than we love God. We love homosexuals more than we hate sodomy. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? We love homosexuals, the person, more than we hate their sin. It's a decadence. It's a decaying. It's a perishing of the truth. Does your life reflect these qualities? Genuine faith is reflected in the love of God and His Word, sincere humility, true repentance, and a disconnect from the world. What Randy just said. Does your life reflect these characteristics? We all sin and fall short, but the important question to ask concerns the condition of your heart. Have you truly repented and believed in Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or are you trusting in a false assurance? Are you homosexual and say you're a Christian? Are a thief and say you're a Christian? Five, there is hope. At this point, you may think, why try? This is hopeless. I've drifted too far. Let me reassure you, God doesn't let our relationship with him hinge on measuring up on our own following rules. He wants us to come as we are, recognize our need for a Savior, and commit our life completely to him. Whether you're promoting gay marriage or struggling with homosexuality, recognize that we've all made mistakes. Simply repent, strive for holiness and purity, and you will experience times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Change is God's job. Obedience is ours. So, folks, I would say, well, I'm about out of time, that the entire gay movement is destroying Christianity. We see normal Bible-believing churches scratching their head as to whether or not it's acceptable. And you would think that David Arthur would have so many invitations to speak that he would have to clone himself to be able to cover. But he doesn't. Why? Because people love not the truth. Our leaders love not the truth. They don't want to have to deal with the backlash that's going to come, they think, from speaking out against this sin. By the way, what's the name of this? What's the name of this article, Jared? The gay divide is taking out.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir. 3 minutes. Come on in.
What they're going to do is they're going to face a bigger backlash because they weren't standing for the right thing in the first place. What do you think? We're going to forget about it and just let them get away with it? You know, just say, oh, you weren't really invested in that. You were just going along. Oh, that's okay. Everything's going to be fine. No, there has to be a reaction to that.
There has to be a reaction pushback to it for sure.
Amen, brother.
Listen, Jared, I'm sending you something right now. Somebody else, come on in here. Help me wind this thing up. Jared, I'm sending you right now. I don't know how to get it into the chat. I'm not very smart here. Jared, what I send to you right now is that Chuck Missler thing. Maybe you can put that in the chat for people. I think it's that important for you to watch it. Somebody, come on in.
Hey, Three Coach. Minutes.
Yes.
When you were reading 2 Thessalonians, I kept hearing Matthew 23 in the background, but verse 9 is the warning. Is, you know, this when that delusion comes across, like the churches you're mentioning having this debate about gay and lesbians. You know, look at lying wonders. That was a word that I've read over and not really stopped on and pondered.
Mm-hmm.
But all, you know, all those signs and lying wonders.
Yeah.
That's where the delusion kicks in because they're going to be buying into the lying wonders.
Because wonders, when we hear lying wonders, we're thinking fake miracles, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to wonder? I wonder who wrote the book of love? I wonder who. Lying wonders. Lying. The emotion which is excited by novelty or the presentation to the sight or mind of something new, unusual, strange, great. Lying wonders. Giving over to lying wonders, right? Remember, folks, this is so easy. The devil works through deception. Lying wonders. I wonder if you really were born that way. I wonder if there really is a gay gene. I wonder when lying wonders. I wonder if God really did mean what he said. Hath God really said?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
There really is. You know, I found, Jared, if you could find that picture, there really is gay genes. There really is. We discovered it the other day. See?
He's absolutely right.
There they are. Oh, there, 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 there. For the mystery of iniquity doth already at work, only he be left, and then than to be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, decay, rot, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Boys and girls, we cannot back up from truth. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow morning.